This morning's message is our last message of a series we started back in April called Reboot. We are going to take the next 10 years and continue here at Branchton with Reboot. The Lord used Joe to bring us through the first 10 years, and it's my prayer, and I hope yours, that he uses Joe to take us through the next 10 years and more. If you'll remember, over the last several months of Reboot, we've covered conversion, am I born again? We've covered scriptures, God's word. Do I yield to them as my highest authority? We covered church. Who has God given me to belong to? We covered worship. Who do I hallow in my heart above all? Missions. Am I living for something greater than me and mine? Hospitality. Do I love the strangers as myself? And we looked at giving. The last few weeks we've been talking about giving. We have also looked at that over the last few years. We've talked about giving of our time. We've talked about giving of our wealth, our possessions, and our money. And today we're going to continue talking about giving. Giving the love God has given to you, to others, just as He did. Our proposition for today is let the world know that you are a disciple of Jesus by loving others. Do the people of this world, the ones that you intermingle with, see at work, do they really know that you're Jesus' disciple? Or are you just going to work and not really living for Jesus in the world? Do they see you loving others? Do they see and hear Jesus in you? Here's something for you to look at. Have you guys ever seen that old TV show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? Pretty funny, isn't it? They made a remake, but I think the original one's much better, way, way better. For those of you who have never seen it, it's where the host asked kids just numerous, any kind of question, and just let the kid answer it. And kids will say the darndest things. They're hilarious. But kids saying the darndest things is not completely accurate. You see, kids say and do the darndest things. They say and do exactly what they have heard and seen. And if you don't know it, kids are super attentive. You may think they're sitting over there playing their video game, not listening to you, not watching you. They are. They listen and see everything you do. And do you want to know who they listen to and see the most? Just listen to a kid and watch him. And when he says or does something or she does, and their parents say, "Where did you see that? Who did you hear do that?" You can answer that question and point right at the parent and say, "It was you." Because they watch and listen to their parents the most. Children pay so much attention to their parents, they imitate exactly what they do. And what children say and do usually is not very honoring to their parent. Matter of fact, sometimes it's pretty downright embarrassing. I've got a kid. She said and did some things that was very embarrassing to me. So, church, if God is your father, your adopted parent, and Jesus was God in the flesh, who should you be imitating? If you're not imitating Jesus, if you're not saying and doing what He said and did, you're not paying close enough attention to Him or His words. You're not honoring Him. As a matter of fact, you're pretty much embarrassing and letting Him down. So come on, Branchton. Let's be a church that imitates Jesus by loving one another the way He did and bring honor to Him. Over the last few years, we've been looking at three core values we've been trying to get Branchton to follow. And here they are. Value number one, love the people of Jesus with the love of Jesus until the return of Jesus. Number two, spend time with people who are not like you so they can see Jesus in you. And number three, open your life to invest in the church and for the church to invest in you. These three core values are going to be our 3 points for this morning. So if you're ready to get started, we're going to start point number one. Love the people of Jesus with the love of Jesus until the return of Jesus. Our first point's right there in our first verse of our message this morning. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Love the people of Jesus with the love of Jesus. It's that plain. Love the people of Jesus with the love of Jesus. First, we need to look at a little phrase he says here, a new commandment. Loving people is not a new commandment. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And Leviticus 19 says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear a grudge against your sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we see it all through the New Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. This commandment to love is not a new commandment. So what is the new commandment? What is the new in this new commandment I give you? Jesus' command regarding love presents a distinctly new standard. It's sacrificial. Love one another even as I loved you. Sacrificial. Jesus was a sacrifice for you. So what does this look like? We're to put others first. From our scripture reading earlier, Philippians 2:3-5, God's word says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our sacrificial living must be modeled after the love that Jesus showed, and that's what's produced through the new covenant by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. You see, in Jeremiah 31:33, Jesus says, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. This new commandment is the new covenant. If you've not been transformed by the Holy Spirit and are under the new covenant, you do not have the power to love one another as Jesus commanded. You can't give something that you do not have. If you've not been born again and have Jesus' love in you, you cannot give the same love that Jesus gave. This power only comes through conversion. The transforming power by the Holy Spirit was our first reboot message back in April. Conversion. Am I born again? And Jesus uses a small little phrase right there in the middle of verse 34. Even as I loved you. Do you really know how much Jesus loved you, church? Do you really know what his sacrifice looked like? Jesus left his home in glory and put on flesh, went into the homes of people that he didn't even know because he didn't have a home. And he showed his love and gave us an example by washing the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. That's serving others. After leaving his home and putting on flesh and serving us, he died for us. The last verse of Philippians 2:8 that we read this morning. Being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. We must expend ourselves. That is, we must spend and use up our resources, such as money, time, and energy, to show the love of Jesus to one another. Jesus had it all, church. He had all the wealth, all the time, and the energy in the universe. Yet he still expended himself for us, gave it all up, and came here and sacrificed himself for us. We have to expend ourselves as he did and show the love he showed to us to others. That's sacrificial living and imitating Jesus. Branchton, let's be a church that honors and imitates Jesus by giving the love he gave to us to others as we reboot. Let's start the next 10 years by rebooting our lives and start serving Jesus and his people the way he did. Love the people of Jesus with the love of Jesus. It's sacrificial. How do we do that? Well, first we must examine ourselves and make sure that you've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and are now a new person and part of that new covenant. If you have not experienced conversion and became a new person and now have the love of Jesus in you, you do not have the love of Jesus to give to others. You can love on other people and you can give to other people, but is it sacrificial? Is it the same love that Jesus gave us? Do you get it, church? You can't give something you don't have. So examine yourself and make sure that you have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and now a new person. If you don't really know about what it looks like to be truly transformed, genuinely transformed, a good gauge is, are you loving the people the way Jesus did? Not the way you want to, the way Jesus did. Are you expending yourself? Jesus expended himself. He gave up his time, wealth, and energy for us. We must do the same for others and give up our money, time, and energy to serve others. Examine yourself, church, and make sure you're part of the new covenant. And then Jesus didn't put his place in the universe above our needs. He gave all the stuff he had up and came here and sacrificed for you. That's loving the people of Jesus with the love of Jesus when you imitate Jesus. Point two, spend time with people who are not like you so that they can see Jesus in you. John 13:35. By this, all men, all kinds of men, all ethnic groups, all colors, races, men, women, all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. That starts right here in our church. There are people right here in this church that are not like you. Spend some time with them. Ask them over for a meal. Take them out for a meal. Have a game night. Go out to a movie. Love them so that they can see Jesus in you. Jesus spent time with people that were not like him. Do you want to imitate him? Look at his disciples. Not one of them were like him. You see, in Jesus' time, a parent would teach their child, their trade. And being a carpenter, Jesus's earthly father, Joseph, would have probably taught him his trade. Right here in Matthew 13:55 says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Jesus' dad was a carpenter and probably taught him his trade, so Jesus was possibly a carpenter. And being this carpenter, probably, Jesus spent time with fishermen and carpenters ain't got a thing in trade, guys. Tax collectors, they really hated tax collectors back then. You guys know. They couldn't stand Matthew and the other tax collectors. He spent time with the zealot, and Philip and James and Judas were also possibly other types of tradesmen. We don't know for sure, but they probably were. He also spent time with prostitutes. Any of you guys in here spending time with prostitutes? Don't answer that, guys. I'm trying to look out for you. I don't want to get you in trouble. Just don't answer it, okay? But he spent time with prostitutes. That's nothing like a carpenter, guys. Now, I think I know most of you in here pretty good. And I'm not like a lot of you. But I do try to spend time with most of you. This year, I'm promising you, I'm going to try to spend time with all of you a little bit. I hope you don't get upset with me, guys. But I'm going to say something here. But don't get mad at me, okay? Earl and Kim, what do you guys have in common with Zach? Probably nothing. William, Patrick, what do you guys as family have in common with each other? Probably nothing. John, Linda, what do you guys have in common with Satina and Tay? Guys, I can go on and on with this. Do you get it? Spend time with people not like you. Let's be a church that honors and imitates Jesus. I'm not saying go spend time with prostitutes, okay? Spend time with people not like you. There's people right here in this church that are not like you. Let's reboot. Let's spend our next 10 years. Let's start them with rebooting. By doing this, we'll be following Jesus' example. Also, starting right here in this church would be pretty good practice for you. How do I spend time with somebody that's not like me? I'm kind of nervous about it. I don't have anything in common with them. Well, guys, they know they don't have anything in common with you, but they won't judge you. They'll encourage you. You may say, I don't have anything in common. I don't want to do nothing with them. Just call them and ask them. Spend time with them. It's good practice so that when you're in the world and you're going through your daily routine, you can find those that are not like you and already have an idea what's going to happen. This will help you fulfill the great commandment. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Go to someone where you work, in your neighborhood, someone that's not like you, and spend time with them. Let's start this next 10 years loving the people of Jesus and people that are not like Jesus with the love of Jesus. Point three. Open your life to invest in the church and for the church to invest in you. Did Jesus invest in the church? We pretty much know the answer to that. Why, sure he did. He took your penalty and my penalty for our sins and was beaten so badly that he was unrecognizable. That was what we were supposed to get. That's a punishment for sin, guys. Maybe even worse. I think probably worse. You see, he was so unrecognizable, Pilate had to tell him who it was. John 19:1-5. Pilate took Jesus and had him scourged. And Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate had to say to them, behold the man. Don't you guys think they would have recognized Jesus when they brought him back out? He was beaten so badly, he was unrecognizable. And Pilate had to say who it was. Look what Isaiah says they did to him. Isaiah 52, 14. His appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He was so badly beaten that when he came out wearing a robe and a crown of thorns, Pilate had to say to them, "Look, the man." I'm sorry, church. And then, church, they took Jesus out and they nailed him to a cross where he bled out for us. That's our punishment for sin. Did Jesus sacrifice for us? I know you know he did. Open your life to invest in the church. Imitate Jesus. He invested in the church. Are you going to give and invest in the church and imitate Jesus? Maybe not to the point of dying on the cross, but maybe. The days are coming, church, just maybe. Does Jesus want us to invest in him? Well, sure he does. Acts 1:8, he says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." By being a witness for Jesus, you're investing in him. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." That's all kinds of people. Jesus' body is the church, his disciples. I'd say he wants you to invest in his church by going into the world and making more disciples. Jesus invested in the church and wants the church to invest in him. So, what's it going to be, Branchton? Are you going to give and let the church invest in you? Are you going to invest in the church? I want to share something with you about what happened a couple Saturdays ago. Is Saturday's time important to you guys? Saturday's a pretty important day, isn't it? Most of us work a five-day week, and Saturday is an important day for us to sleep in, to do things we can't do during the week. So I would say Saturday mornings are pretty much important to most of us. About two Saturdays ago, five men regarded that time special not to them, but to someone else. These five men, Joe, Mushai, Earl, Terry, and I, moved Tracy's mom to a nursing living facility, Miss Carol. They sacrificed their time and energy, and in a minute I'm going to show you money, for the love of the brothers and sisters in Christ. After the time we spent moving Miss Carol into the nursing home, one of your brothers didn't think he had spent enough time with his other brothers. So to invest in them and to spend more time with them, he asked them out to breakfast. So he took us all five to Cracker Barrel for breakfast. Now, while we were there, the world, the people in the restaurant, saw five men investing in each other that looked nothing alike. The waitress was even kind of taken back a little bit, saying, she's looking at us five men like, what's this motley crew doing here? Now, sure, Earl and me and Terry are kind of alike. Guys, look at Mushai. He don't look or act nothing like us three. The world saw people that were not alike loving and investing in each other. and one of your brothers bought them breakfast. Money. Now, then you come and you look at Pastor Joe. He's sitting with us four, three rednecks, and Mushai. Sorry, I couldn't find a good word for you, brother. And Pastor Joe, a preppy school teacher, sitting at a table, loving on each other, cracking up, spending time with each other, and investing in each other. We had a ball, church. All three core values can be seen there. The world, the people in the restaurant, the waitress saw five men, nothing alike, loving each other, spending time with each other, and investing each other. And the world saw all that as we did it. What a testimony from those five guys. This goes to show you that not only is our personal lives private, when we go out and we see each other, it's public also. Christian life is not private, it's public. We must spend our time and our resources for each other. We must expend ourselves. Again, I had to look that word up, guys. I'm just an old country boy. What does it mean to expend? I've said it already earlier. It means to spend your time, spend and use up your sources such as money, time, and resources to show the love of Jesus to others. That's expending yourselves. So what are you going to do, Branston? Are you going to reboot and start this next 10 years with our three core values as the beginning of your next 10 years? Are you going to let all kinds of men know that you are Jesus' disciple? By doing these three values, the world will know that you are Jesus' disciple. That's what he says. Love one another as I loved you. Love one another with the love of Jesus until the return of Jesus. And he says, by doing this, all men will know that you are my disciples by your love you have for one another. Spend time with people not like you, Christians and non-Christians. Now, I'm not talking about your family Christians or non-Christians. You probably already spend time with them. Do they know you're a disciple of Jesus? What I'm talking about is spending time with people that you don't spend time with every day, the people you work with, your next-door neighbor. Somebody here in this church, love one another the way Jesus loved us. If you continue to repeat these three core values over the next year and the year after and so on, you'll be repeating and imitating Jesus' love until he returns. He says to love one another even as I loved you. By this, all people will know that you're my disciple.